on the government's welfare reforms, despite the public opposition of more than 120 Labour MPs. BBC News.
With Caroline Nicholls. We've a new comedy coming up in a moment.
I'm John Simpson, the BBC's World Affairs editor, and I'm fascinated by dictators.
Things have happened. You know, people did disappear.
Now I'm telling the stories of their rise to power, their ruthless leaderships, and their fall.
He didn't look like the dictator that we had in mind in the West.
Looking back over my 60-year reporting career to ask what drives them and their lust for control.
That was one of the special forces, so I thought he was going to try and stop me reporting.
John Simpson's Dictators on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds this Saturday evening at 8.
Now it's Your Mum, a new series that sees the comedian Laura Smith speak to celebrity guests to find out if they are indeed like mother, like child.
And welcome to Your Mum, a series where we do a deep dive into mums. Each episode, I will be interviewing two celebrity guests to find out about the indelible mark their mothers left on them. Were their mums overprotective, underprotective, hypercritical, hypocritical, a shoulder to cry on, domineering, unpredictable, totally absent, or actually their grandma? We find out in Your Mum! Born in the early 80s, I'm securely in the generation of kids whose mum did the lion's share of the child rearing. And by that, I mean, I don't think my dad even noticed he had kids. I spent my whole childhood thinking I was going to get a puppy because he was always going to see a man about a dog. It was just him and his mates. You know the type, old school geezers. You usually see them outside betting shops, give you mad, unsolicited advice. Like, I tell you what, don't you worry about who you're worried about. Worry about who you ain't worried about. That's who you got to worry about. They were like, cheers, Tommy, I'm 8. I don't know what to do with that. Basically, what I'm saying is, in the 80s and before, especially in East London, all mums were single mums, really. My mum was busy with keeping the whole house functioning. She never stopped. But just know this. When she did sit down, she always made a point of telling you she's just sat down. Nowadays, dads are on the school run and things like that, carrying book bags over their shoulders and micro scooters like little cartoon couriers. But you'd think now being a mum with all this support from the dads would be easier, but not so. Nowadays, we're doing it alongside a career and the pressures of gender reveal parties, making balloon arches for their first day of nursery, pick your own pumpkin patches at Halloween. Pumpkins are £2 in Asda's. Why am I halfway up the A12, ankle deep in mud, spending 40 quid just so I can get a photo of my rightfully miserable kids and put it on my Instagram with a caption, hashtag blessed. And matching Christmas pyjamas? You have to do that now. You have to do that now. For something, you do it. You do it. You see, why are you doing it? Because Stacey Solomon told you to do it. That's why. And the matching Christmas pyjamas, I won't lie to you, it's affected my marriage. Because even though my husband has no choice in the matter, because I run the show, I bought them for me, him, the kids and a dog. I did look over at him when he had them on and think, have you let me talk you into this, you div? You're a builder. You're matching with a Pomeranian. What are you doing? We live in this mad child-centric culture now. You know what my only activity was growing up? Playing out. Yeah. That was it. We ran those streets. My summer holidays were feral. I only went into my house to eat or get told off, and I loved it. I don't remember my mum planning things. We planned things. Illegal things. There was a massive building site at the end of my street one year, and we basically lived on it. As soon as the builders downed tools for the day, we were there. It's like we did the night shift. We did so much damage, it was like the opposite of the elves and the shoemaker. Proper little scroats. Since becoming a mum, two things have astounded me about my own mother. One, the 180-degree shift in personality of my mum as mother to my mum as grandmother. I've basically given birth to my mum's fan club, and they're in this mutual appreciation society that I cannot gain access to. They don't want me. The second thing to astound me is how little she remembers about us growing up. I have bombarded her with questions over the years, like, when did I get my first tooth? How old was I when I started walking? What was my first word? Whatever happened to our pet terrapin, hamster, dog? All these questions have been met with the same answer. Oh, I don't know. Not a clue. clue. She's not got one clue. Were you even there, Mum? Now, it's time to welcome my guests and find out what their mums remember and what they remember about their mums. So, my first guest is a Staten Island-born, UK-based comedian whose parents are called Mary and Joseph. And no, we haven't booked Jesus Christ. His agent was a nightmare to get hold of. It's Janine Haruni, everyone! Guest is a multi-award winning stand-up and host of hit podcast Evil Genius, Russell Kane, everyone! Religious leader James E. Faust once said, "There is no greater good in all the world than motherhood." Amen to that. Ain't no hood like motherhood. Guys, do you think motherhood makes someone a better person?
I became a mother this year, and I can say emphatically thank you. No, it does not make you a better person. It is the toughest thing I've ever done, and I feel like it's made me hard as nails. Yeah. And it starts like day one. I had a C-section, and I told my husband's friend, and he just went, took the easy route, popped that baby out the sunroof. Oh. I was like, yeah, I popped that baby out the sunroof of a car that doesn't have a sunroof.
Yeah.
We had a C-section as well. Like
No. We did not have a C-section.
Fix those pronouns.
Your
that was not an inclusive.
My pronouns are we. Lindsay had... our baby wouldn't turn round. Awkward and dramatic before she was even born. Cord around the neck. Can I have some attention? And then... I've just got to speak up for the guys here, because every man in the room's like, don't say the wrong thing. No one is playing down the miracle and trauma of what you get. So I'm just describing my experience that can sit alongside yours.
We'll hold space for it.
Right, thank you very much. But you go home as a man that night, and it is the most useless and incompetent and pointless seed bank you've ever felt in your entire... Not only that, but your whole dimension of what you should value and worship and praise and protect has changed. And I don't know about any of the other lads in the room, it's the weirdest night at home of my life. Like, trying to think of things to do to be useful. I got up the next day with the few days, you know, with the baby seat thing a couple of days later when you're
That's your main role, bro.
And I got to the car park and I was shaking. I'm like, why am I shaking? And I was shaking with like a sort of existential crisis. And the worst thing is, as a man, you daren't describe one syllable of what you are going through to your wife. You'll be like, oh, I had an existential crisis in the car park. I've just been sewn up from the bumhole to the kidneys. Do you want to shut your mouth or I'll knock you out? But the quote is nonsense, of course. It depends on the person.
Yeah, I know. This whole day, like, motherhood makes you better, I'm just disagreeing. I mean, have you met women without children? They smell good, they look good, they drink hot coffee. I don't know what we were thinking, Janine. Right, Janine, I am going to start with you. I hear your mum has something that your dad describes as the feminine guile. Can you explain what your dad means by that?
So my parents have like a very traditional relationship where my mom, my dad definitely wears the pants in the family, but they're the ones that my mom's laid out for him. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, like, the man is the head of the household, but the mom is the neck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She can turn the head any way she wants.
No,
yeah, yeah. That fully describes their relationship. Like, when I was growing up, my dad, he only wanted white walls in the house. He wanted everything light and open and airy. And my mom, after like 25 years, was sick of white walls. So one night when my dad was asleep, she just painted one wall yellow. And when my dad woke up, he was so mad at her. And she was just like, don't worry about it, Joe. It's just an accent wall. It's a pop of color. Let's just leave it for a little while and we'll see if we like it. But what she'd actually done was invited the neighborhood to come over every single night that week. So every time the doorbell would ring, she'd like answer the door and be like, compliment the wall. And then people would come in and they'd be like, wow, the wall looks amazing. The wall looks gorgeous. And after a while, my dad just started going, yeah, you know, it's actually called an accent wall. And it's just a pop of color. We're thinking about leaving it.
That's like less feminine goal, more like I'm bringing in reinforcements. Yeah. I've got a team around me. I do stuff like that. Like, I get really frustrated. And my husband's got a phrase, because he is a builder and good at stuff. I just start painting stuff. And he's like, go on in. Quicker you can do it, quicker I can redo it. That's basically it. Now, you have two brothers, commiserations. Does your mum have a favourite child, do you think?
Yeah, my oldest brother.
She don't even hide that.
Yeah, my oldest brother. I have another brother, my middle brother. He's a doomsday prepper. He has about 16 handguns and... and an underground
God
bunker.
God bless America.
He's got an underground bunker with a community of people he met on the internet. Nobody really says anything against him because he would.
I'm not ever saying anything against him.
Are you joking? Really has a bunker.
Where?
In Arizona. Yeah.
That is the worst case of middle child syndrome I've ever heard. I worry about my middle child because when her little brother was born, something broke in her that never quite got healed. You know what I mean? But that...
Yeah, we've connected recently on aliens, though, so that's been good. Do other people don't have this in their family?
I really try and not have any prejudices, and I'm like, look, Americans can't all be that crazy, can they? And we're like, but there's aliens, and... Okay.
So there's me. I'm a clown for a living. Then they've got the doomsday prepper.
And then the favourite. Why is he so clearly the favourite?
Everything he does, my mom is like, oh my God, you know what your brother did? It was amazing. Like, he booked this trip for my mom, for her to come over and visit. And he booked the flight. And she was like, the seat that your brother booked me, he knows everything about flying. It was like I was in first class. There was nobody in front of me. I've never seen that in an airport. And he knows I go to the bathroom a lot, you know, my bladder. And he booked me a seat right next to the bathroom. So I never had to wait in line. It was unbelievable. And I'm straight off the plane. So then this year when I booked my mom to come over, so I booked the exact same seat. And when my mom got off the plane, she was like, the armrests don't lift up. I'm sitting right in front of a wall and I'm by the bathroom. I'm hearing people fart and piss the entire flight.
Just can't do anything right.
Can't do anything right, no.
We have heard, though, we've heard from your mum, okay? Because we asked your mum if she treated you differently and she said this.
She got away with much more than the boys did because I was tired by the time I had her.
Two things there. One, we know you do a great impression of your mum. That is really great. But I just love the realness of that. It's like, oh, by the third, who cares? And there is some truth in that, isn't there?
I think that before I had a kid myself, I was in therapy and I'd be like, God, all these things that happened in my childhood with my parents, and now that I have a kid, I'm like, oh, I ruined my parents' life. It's so hard. It's so hard having kids. And my parents had three, and they were broke. And I don't blame her anymore. Yeah.
It's weird.
She was tired. I'm tired.
Tired with one.
Yeah.
Was she strict with you growing up, though?
Yeah, my parents, they're very religious, they're very Catholic, and genuinely, when I was in my 30s and I'd moved in with my then boyfriend, now husband, my parents found out about it. My mom called me up and was like, I don't like the idea of you and Andrew having sex outside of marriage. And I had to just be like, Mom, we've been dating for 6.5 years. We're not having sex anymore.
I'm sure having a child's taken care of any residual sex that might have still been going on.
Well, now I know what happens when you have sex. So
yeah,
I don't want to...
She was right. Your mum told us how delighted she was to have a daughter after having two sons. So thank God she was paying attention in the hospital.
And the nurse comes in and she hands me Janine. And so now I open up the blanket and, you know, you want to count the toes, you want to count the fingers. And I said to the nurse, excuse me, this isn't my baby. She goes, oh, Mrs. Cerrone, babies change from minute to minute after they're born. So I said, oh, okay, but this one grew a PC, which is a penis. And then there was a roommate who had a blue bassinet, but my daughter in it. So to this day, Janine goes, are you sure you're my mother?
I was swapped at birth, yeah. Oh my God. They said, you've given birth, it's a girl. And then when they brought me back in the room, they gave her a boy. And they did no testing. It was just another woman in the hospital had been given a girl when she had a boy. So they just were like, and swapped us. It was the 80s.
No one even in therapy.
As much as you joke all the time, are you sure I'm your daughter? Is there anything that tells you, yeah, I am my mother's daughter?
I do look exactly like my mother's.
But personality-wise, are we any chip off the old block there?
My husband says I'm like her in that I look nice on the outside, but I'm like a mob boss on the inside. He says I have the soul of Joe Pesci, and that's, I think, what my mom is like. But I don't know what... My mom came and lived with me for the last 3 months because my husband got a job abroad, so she was helping with the baby, which was unbelievable. And after she had kids...
I love the neutrality of unbelievable. Unbelievably kind or unbelievable.
I mean, it was also that because I don't know about you, but something happens when I'm in the same house as my mom where it's like somebody hits the factory reset button and I'm just like instantly my 16-year-old self. Yeah. I'm just like, you don't even believe that I can do it, mom. This is why I spend so much time at Andrew's. And she's like, he's your husband. You're married. You
I can't be at my mom. I mean, I love my mom, but being at her house, I'm just like, oh, mom, can I have another biscuit? I just lose the... You just lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you are a mum. I love the insight that you're like, actually, I get it. Are there any sort of parenting approaches that you're like, nah, that's I'm doing this differently?
Really, it's giving me so much perspective because I thought that parenting was a two-person job, but we looked after my niece when she was little before I had kids, and it was me and my dad, and... I'd never changed a diaper before. And my dad was like, I raised three kids. I know what I'm doing. And I turned around and he brought out some scissors. And I'm like, I've never changed a diaper, but I'm sure cutlery is not involved. So I really appreciate that my mom had to do so much because I feel like I'm doing that now. And my husband is great. He's a real like millennial dad. He is involved, but it's still, there's no parody.
Oh no, you're just in the business end.
Yeah. I was listening to, you know, this, the Wheels on the Bus. Before my son was born, just because it's a banger.
It's
yeah.
a Stone Cold banger fan.
Yeah. No, the lyrics in that song, they're so telling. So it goes through all the people on the bus. So it says the mommies on the bus go, which is like so aggressive. Do you know what it says the daddies on the bus say? It says the daddies on the bus say, I love you.
Oh.
That is not what the daddies on the bus say.
Yeah.
The daddies on the bus are like, do you know where the baby is? Did you bring the diaper bag? Yeah. Do we have formula? I said that at a gig the other night. I said, do you know what the daddies on the bus say? And a woman from the back of the room just shouted, they're not there.
Oh, I love it. Janine, finally, is there anything you'd like to thank your mum for?
I know I joke, but, and she does drive me crazy and I drive her crazy, but she truly, like, she gave up her life, her lovely life of retirement and leisure and left my dad and came and lived with me for 3 months to help me with the baby.
No, man.
And the minute she arrived, she got norovirus. She was puking everywhere. The baby had it. England. I had it.
Welcome to England.
Yeah. And she was a real trooper and she was an unbelievable help. And,
oh, I love that.
She's the best.
Lovely. Wow. Well, Janine Haruni, I would like to thank her for correctly identifying a penis so she got her baby back. A brilliant daughter who she was too tired to discipline, for being so scary that you emigrated to England so we get to enjoy your hilarious anecdotes and impressions of your mum. Russell! Look, you famously described your dad as a big, scary silverback gorilla. Which animal would your mum be and why?
Like a squirrel or... Or a starling, just like full of energy, neurotic, buzzing about. The pair of us are like, do you remember that Pepper Army advert? Yeah. We're like that, just constantly restless the whole time, like doing things, can't sit still. So we're very alike.
I see that.
Yeah.
I see it. So you felt like your mum was different. Did you ever feel that difference? Like, there's always that thing when you go to a friend's house and you're like, mum, well, that don't happen at our house.
There were other houses like mine, like very working class childhood, council flat, and then we finally got a council house. And I just thought we were millionaires. Because we'd lived in this flat. Well, before that, it was just me and my mum in a mother and baby shelter because we were literally homeless. Get the violins out.
No, me and my daughter, no. When we got our permanent, that's when you got me permanent. We got stairs. We were like, oh my God.
But there were other working class households like mine, aspirational, hardworking, and very tidy, organised, regimented. And that's what stood out. And also, the way we ate as well, that was unique. Because even back then, the start of helicoptering. My daughter's school, they have no winners or losers on sports day because it's too traumatic for the children. So everyone gets a medal, right? So we're teaching children now, oh, everyone wins and everyone's valued. And that's great. Okay, great. Then we've got to hire these people at 18. They get into the office and go, oh, I win every day. Have I been promoted? No, anxiety. The start of that was the food when I was little in the 80s. And so I'd go to someone's house and their mum and dad would have the beautiful dinner that I was used to, shepherd's pie, chili con carne, spaghetti, whatever. And we'd have like the idiot potato smiley facey processed rubbish on a small table at 4 p.m. Whereas in my house, what we ate, what mum and dad ate,
You ate or there was nothing. I don't like broccoli. Don't eat it then, boy. Not an issue. And then my mum would go, if you can go and play, go play. And I'd be like, oh, I got away with that. 3 days later, when your ribs are starting to show, right, how delicious is broccoli, guys?
Gabor Mate says, you know, mental is not about feeling good, it's about getting good at feeling.
That's what my mum got exactly right. The balance between me feeling loved and protected.
It's the difference between protecting your kids from the world and preparing your kids for the world.
I mean, your mum went too far. She swapped you out when you were born.
I want a yellow wall and I want a baby girl.
I want a pop of daughter.
Right, so we've heard about your birth story. We also asked your mum, Russell, about giving birth to you. Do you want to hear what she said?
I don't know anything about my birth.
Go on.
Oh, it was all quite horrible, really. Because he obviously was never going to come into the world in a normal way.
He was never going to come into the world in a normal way. What do you mean by that?
Had my mum given birth now, it would have been an elective C-section because exactly like my daughter, I just wouldn't turn. So my daughter just stayed feet down. So, you know, neck cord around the neck, feet down. The show was beginning, even in utero.
Drama. Russell, I reckon you were just in there. You didn't put your head down because you didn't want to miss anything. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, but so it was very dangerous back then. So, yeah, and of course my mum's mum was a complicated character, right? But she was a proper alcoholic. We're talking 7 a.m. double vodka in bed in your dressing gown by 4 p.m. So she was a useless mum to my mum. But what saved my mum from some of the damage that maybe some of her siblings had was my nan went, nah, don't fancy it, and handed it to her mum, great nan, and she sodded off early doors. So my mum was raised by who I called my grandma, but was actually my great-grandma. But she was more like, you know, like the curly permed, read you a story, like what you would call a nana, rather than a vodka bottle swinging. By that point, my nan was on her fourth husband, who she met while she was visiting her third husband in prison, right?
Keeping up with this, because I'll be honest with you, go on.
My nan was visiting her third husband in prison. He'd gone down for fraud, right? And she looked across and she started flirting with someone else who was visiting his mate in prison. Then she got it on with him. Yeah, I'm not even joking.
Right.
It makes Shameless look like Downton Abbey. I wish I was making it up, guys.
I'll tell you what. After all of that, we asked your mum what she thought of raising you. Here we go.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Wait, there's more, she said.
I think when he started nursery school, we were both relieved.
I love it. But, I mean, it would have been a lot handling you. I mean,
it's just some kids, you have to grow into your mind. And sorry to bang on about class, and you probably think I've got a chip on my shoulder, but if the way my daughter's growing up, it's like she's a yo sushi with different... Do you want to try a violin? Yeah, I'll try some of that. How about a karate? Yeah, I'll give that a go. What about French? That's what it's like for a middle-class kid. Whereas my mum and dad were just knackered. We were just working. And there was a takeaway on Saturday, and that was the glamour of the week. Yeah. And the bookshelf was the microwave cookbook and the scuba diving handbook, and that was it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't their fault. They didn't know how to direct. I wasn't intelligent. I just had lots of energy.
Yeah.
It needed directing. As soon as I discovered books, late at like 18, 19, bang, I was away.
Talking about microwaves and tech, what does your mum do that really winds you up? I hear she's not the best with technology. Is that true?
My mother is incredibly bright, okay? She never had a chance to express it growing up where we did and all that. But what pees me off is when she doesn't apply it to something, like learning how to use the iPhone or the iPad, because if it's something that she could be asked to learn, she would do it. So I spend my whole life, now if I press this key, what does that do? And I'm behind her, you know, with a hovering fist going up and probably go through your skull and into the screen and out again with one punch. Like, I could be in a suicide pod in Switzerland about to press the button because I've got a terminal disease, and she would go, before you go... The iPhone update. That'd be the last thing I heard.
Well, Russell, I will have a confession. We did ask your mum about this.
He does pull my leg about loads and stuff, technology mostly. I hardly ever ask him, but he exaggerates it and makes that I ask all the time.
Oh, my God.
Your mum's a legend.
Right, where's my phone? Let's talk.
Right, we're going to hear from your mum again because you've already touched on it, because you've got a daughter now and your mum was talking about you and your daughter, and this is what she said as well.
I've got a saying. I always say Russell was born bored. Nina's been identical.
Yeah, just up for it.
My mum says it's like justice. Because Minna's just bored. My poor wife and my daughter looks like me, acts like me. It's like she was just an egg chamber or something for me to grow a clone. And but the difference is I know what to do. I've got strategies in place and I know, right, after school clubs, more hobbies, just get her on that hamster wheel. And I know I understand the frustrations.
That's a lovely thing, isn't it? I know what I needed.
Because I know once I got past 11 and 12 and I went through those dodgy teenage years, there were a few years where it could have gone either way with me where I was growing up. And it was only because of my mum and my dad that I was able just about to keep on that track.
Lovely.
Just.
Well, that leads on to my... Yeah, exactly. What you've just said leads on to my last question. What would you like to thank your mum for?
The sacrifice. I never really heard them moan, particularly if you come from my sort of working-class background. I'm saying it again, but...
You're working-class?
Yes. I know.
Sing it, Russell. It's weird, though, isn't it?
When we're talking about identity, you always have to be slightly embarrassed if you want to talk about class, but it is actually important because it decides so much of what happens to you, of your health outcomes and your life outcomes and all that. And when I was the first, I've got 17 cousins, right? I was the first cousin to get an A-level, let alone go to university. I came out and got a job in an ad agency. So I'm the first person sat on a colourful couch earning big money, being paid to think. And I had to think, how am I going to tell them that I'm going to do stand-up where I might be earning 300 quid a week? It's an ego trip. It could fail. It might lead nowhere. And my mum was the first one that went, go for it.
Oh, love it.
And that's incredibly rare. Incredibly rare.
Well, Russell, I would like to thank her for her Prometheus-like feat of taking the pure fire from the gods that is you and donning parental oven gloves. Am I taking this metaphor too far? To gift you to the world. We needed you and your bare jokes, wit, intellect and energy. Learning about your lovely mums, I'm also on the hunt for mums in the audience who've excelled themselves in unusual ways. It's time for Mother of the Year Awards! This week, I asked my audience, does your mum have any nicknames or has she given you any nicknames? So, when she's angry with me, my mum calls me adopted. My mum calls me whoops because she says I was an accident. My mum calls me pussy because I once ate cat food. Yeah, of course that's why. Yeah, right. Thank you. The Mother of the Year Award, it goes to the woman who calls her child Cornetto because I was delivered by forceps and had a cone head as a baby. So, Mum of the Year Award, everyone! Okay. It's been so nice to hear from our guest mums in this episode. I'm mostly impressed that they remember so much, even if all they've remembered is that newborn baby girls shouldn't have penises, or the sheer relief of dropping their son off to nursery. All that is left for me to do is thank my guests Janine Haruni and Russell Kane and their mums and our studio audience. Lastly, if you have been affected by any of the issues raised in today's show, just remember, your mum. Your Mum was hosted by me, Laura Smith, and featured Russell Kane and Janine Haruni. It was written by me with additional material from Zoe Tomalin, Christina Riggs, and Pete Talouche. It was produced by Sasha Bobak and was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
And Your Mom with Laura continues at the same time next week. Tomorrow night's comedy at 6:30 is the Matt Ford Focus Group. They'll be looking at the end of the world.
Are you ready to freak out?
Catch Rod Stewart, Nile Rodgers and Sheik, Alanis Morissette and more live from Glastonbury. In the garden, tucking into a barbecue with the family. Glastonbury. This weekend, we bring it to you. Watch on iPlayer, listen on BBC Sounds.